Wolf, and Luke.
And now we come to the thrilling final episode of our radio drama.
Ron Wolfley.
This is going to make me look kind of freaky.
Luke Lipinski.
The great Luke Lipinski.
You're devaluing the word great if you follow for Luke Lipinski.
Wolf and Luke. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
But if you're asking yourself, you're driving around right now, you're like, why are they talking about the Phoenix Suns at all? Well, the Phoenix Suns don't play for a while. They managed to get this break at the start of the season. I don't know that they really want this break at the start of the season. Played on Friday night, beat the Lakers. That was a fun game. It was just unfortunately one of those games we're going into a weekend. We don't get to talk about it a whole lot on Monday because they played again after that and lost to Portland by 29. Portland hit 21 threes in the game. As we mentioned earlier, DeAndre Ayton had 8 points and 3 assists. Wolf, they don't play again until actually tomorrow. But what they do when they play tomorrow is start a 5-game homestand, and these might be the teams to get them right, okay? You got Sacramento tomorrow.
Yeah.
You've got Cleveland on Saturday, New Orleans next Tuesday, and I don't think New Orleans will have Zion back for that game. Houston next Thursday. Houston's not missing anybody, and they just don't have anybody yet. Yeah. And then Atlanta next Saturday. So, I mean, that's a good matchup. But your next 5 games all at home, spread out, and your next 4 are all games you should win. And even the 5th one's a team you can beat.
Yeah, you know, honestly, right now, I think it's one of the best things that could happen to this team early on. I realize that, yeah, this would be great 3 quarters of the way through the season, whatever. But the fact that they're getting this 5 home games in 14-day stretch, I think it actually is coming at a very opportune time for the Phoenix Suns. This is a team that needs rest, I think, and this is a team that needs practice, Matt. Those two things right now, after playing 3 games in 4 days, I think this is just what the doctor ordered for these guys because, more importantly, they need the practice time. And I think they're going to get that.
Arizona Whoa. Sports. Breaking Whoa. News.
Did you say doctor?
Yes.
According to ESPN's Adam Schefter, the Packers now have placed Alan Lazard on the COVID list.
Well, if they don't have anybody to throw to, then I take back what I said about Aaron Rodgers making somebody good.
Wow. Okay. And what other wide receivers? Can you bring up the wide receiver room?
See. Donald Driver, Antonio Freeman, Sterling Sharp. Is he still on the Packers?
Somebody else is going down at some point. And, you know, let's hope that isn't the case, obviously.
Maybe this is why Aaron Rodgers was so adamant in the offseason they had to bring Randall Cobb back, because he's now the only receiver they have. I don't mean to laugh at it. I mean, look, even the conversation earlier, it's a nice break for the Cardinals if they don't have to face Davante Adams. I don't want Davante Adams to have to deal with COVID, but with the way the NFL is set up this year and the way this game is shaping up now for Green Bay, I don't know who they're going to have left to throw
yeah,
to.
Yeah, well, once again, they're going to be able to run the ball, and this is what they do. Aaron Jones, of course, is an excellent running back. I love watching him play. They love the tackle zone, the stretch play, the outside play, whatever you want to call it. That and the 5 plays that come off it, the play action, the bootlegs, the waggles that come off it. I talk about it all the time. It is the beating heart, the base play, I would say, of their offense and many, many other NFL teams and rundown situations as well, running that type of play and that scheme altogether and the plays that come with it right there. Aaron Rodgers does it as well as anybody in the National Football League. It's not even close. You get Aaron too. I think the most underrated thing about Aaron Rodgers is the fact that he's so mobile.
Mm-hmm.
And even at his age now, he's still so mobile. This is no Tom Brady running around back there. Aaron Rodgers has always been mobile, and it's one of the things the Green Bay Packers love to do, get him out on the edge.
Can you imagine if a receiver threw away Aaron Rodgers' 600th passing touchdown football? He would offer you, like, nothing.
He'd yes.
like, give me the ball back.
Exactly.
That's it.
What are you saying? Are you saying Aaron Rodgers is like just mean or something?
I like
that?
You know, actually,
you think he's mean?
No, I just think he's
you're so mean.
I got somebody sent the odds. Remember, he said when people were asking what the deal was with his hair.
Yeah, right.
And he said it's for a Halloween costume.
Yeah.
I have the odds for what that Halloween costume is. Do you want these?
Okay, this is good right here. The odds for what the... Okay, yes, I do want this.
We can do it later in the show if you want. We have more time. You want to do that?
No, that's fine. Go ahead. Okay. Hit me with it right now.
Let's see. I'll give you just the top six. I like the sixth one. AJ Hawk. That'd be funny.
Okay, that was a fake laugh.
Clay Matthews is on there as well.
Oh, Clay.
Kurt Cobain.
Oh, wow.
The Joker.
Okay, Kurt Cobain, that's not a joke, but the Joker, yeah, that is.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Obi-Wan, okay.
Did he have long hair?
I don't know.
Maybe I haven't watched Star Wars.
I think he did, yeah.
Or the dude from The Big Lebowski is 4-1.
Oh, the dude.
Yeah.
That's it. It's got to be the dude.
What was the quote from Rogers? He said he won't give away what the costume is, but it's somebody who is a hero of mine who has longish hair.
Okay.
It'd be funny if it was Clay Matthews, actually.
Okay. Really?
Axl Rose.
Weird right there.
Axl Rose is on here, 16-1.
Axl's nobody's hero, though.
No.
That would be, right? I mean.
I don't know. I'm sure he's somebody's hero.
I mean, he's a relatively nice guy.
Well, Joe Exotic's on here, too.
I have been in his penthouse watching the Super
Bowl. See, you would know.
I'm just saying.
Well, that's
with Michael Zordich, as a matter of fact.
Just tossing that out.
Just go ahead and Google it, my young crocs. Michael Zordich. And all of a sudden, look, everybody, it's Axe. He came walking out. There we were in his penthouse watching the Buffalo Bills and the Washington Redskins. At the time, they were called the Redskins.
Why does it sound like you're name-dropping Michael Zordich and not Axl Rose? You're doing this all backwards.
Z was the one who was actually there, had this shirt on. And it was a shirt that I looked at. And I said, Michael, that shirt is soft. And Axe came out, actually, and said, hey, Z, I like that shirt.
Wow, that said backfired that on you, right,
oh,
right
absolutely.
In your face.
Yeah, and I just laughed. what a joke that is. So you know what Z did? He mailed it to Axl Rose.
Wow.
I know, I'm sorry.
No, this is perfect. This is. Just,
can you stop
I knew this
it.
Is where this segment
he
was going.
He mailed the shirt to Axl Rose. Do you remember when Axe cut his hand? Remember he cut his hand? He couldn't play November Rain.
If you're going to tell me he was wearing this shirt on stage.
No. He couldn't do it. He cut his hand because he slammed down this microphone, right?
Yeah.
As Axe is wont to do from time to time. And all of a sudden it diced his hand, just totally slashed it. Had to get stitches in it. Well, the concert we were at in Vegas happened a couple of months after that.
Yeah.
And that's suddenly there it is. Axe is taking his stitches out, literally backstage, himself taking them out.
Seems safe.
And you know what's going on? Michael Z grabbed this lamp, knocked the lampshade off it, and held it up in the air over like this. And Axe is like, oh, hey, thanks, man. Just think how weird that is.
I don't have to think about how weird that is. It's just weird.
I just looked at Z like, dude, calm down. He's only a human being.
He only said he liked your shirt because I didn't like your shirt.
Yeah, because he knocked a lamp over and took the shade off and held up.
Now I'm kind of hoping that's Aaron Rodgers' costume.
Okay.
I'm hoping he dresses as Axl Rose for Halloween. 16-1 odds. I don't know where you can get those
odds. I'm going with the dude.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense for him. Coming up, Kyler Murray got knocked around on Sunday. Is that going to be a problem for the Cardinals moving forward? It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Wolf and Luke middays, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Yeah. Here we go. By the way, if you ever want to play in a football game and get ready to smear the eye black on and walk out into the tunnel, wherever that tunnel is, wherever it is, this is good music to actually listen to before you go do it.
This is one of their more...
You can pot that up a little, Jess.
Mellow-ish songs?
Yeah, I would say so, and then it kicks in after a while,
it
right?
Does, yeah,
it does. There's no doubt about it. The kick is coming.
Well, it's entirely possible that Aaron Rodgers is dressing up like Axl Rose for Halloween. That's what we got to the bottom of
I think it's still going to be the dude.
Yeah.
Yes.
The thing is, if Aaron Rodgers, if that really is, because his excuse for having the crazy hair this year has been for a month and a half now, it's for my Halloween costume.
Yeah, right.
If he shows up dressed like the dude, I don't think he's ever going back. Yeah. I think he will actually become the dude. Like, he's not going to be dressed up normal on November 1st.
Yeah, why would you cut your hair? Just grow it out, man. Don't put it up in a bun on top of your head like Aunt Mabel. Please don't do that.
That's where you draw the line. For the Cardinals, this season it's becoming pretty evident that they are going to be tough to beat as long as Kyler Murray is healthy. We talked about this a little bit earlier in the week. You know, you don't want to lose anybody. Injuries happen in the NFL. They've already lost Rodney Hudson, by the way, which just because he doesn't put up stats, people nationally don't seem to acknowledge how important he is to this team. And if Max Garcia is dealing with an injury issue as well, then that may become a bigger deal, actually. We can get into that as well. But in terms of skill position players on the Cardinals, you've got two running backs. You've got four receivers. Now you've got an all-world tight end. You don't want to lose any of them, but if you lost one of them for a few weeks, I think they'd be fine as long as you have Kyler Murray. If Kyler Murray gets banged up and misses games, or almost worse, if we see the watered-down version of Kyler Murray we saw in the second half last year because he was hurt, then that's how the Cardinals could start to have some issues. So, Wolf, I know you can't prevent injuries completely, otherwise no team would have an injured quarterback. But there's got to be ways to protect Kyler Murray better than what we saw on Sunday.
Yeah, you know, for me, you know the way I feel on this, Luke. It starts big picture. You got to go schematically. You got to go philosophically. You have to say to yourself, let's start way up here at 30,000 feet. When we're talking about protecting Kyler Murray, where do we start? It starts with a thought, Basinonians. It starts with saying, you know what we're going to do? We're going to stay balanced. This offense has got to be balanced, because if we get one-dimensional, if we get heavy pass, guess what's going to happen? Teams are going to start catching on to the heavy pass, and we're going to start getting guys rushing the passer in rundown situations instead of trying to stop the run. And then if you do use play action, suddenly you're at the disadvantage because you got guys that are not buying your rushing attack, not buying your offensive linemen coming off the ball, faking like they're going to run block. They don't buy it. They just start pass rushing from the snap, from the get-go. And a lot of times, that's what starts messing your quarterback up. Play action that will come off of that. As a matter of fact, it was really cool because Next Gen Stats came up with a stat. I thought it was really cool with Kyler Murray. Sunday was Kyler Murray's first career game in which he threw three touchdown passes off of play action fakes.
Really?
Speaking of,
that's like a stat play action just
right
for you.
There, it's one of the things you want to do. Keep a team guessing. Keep them balanced. Keep your offense in the balance, man. That's what you want to do. And I think that's going to be important for Kyler Murray going forward, because once again, if you get one dimensional, where teams are going to start teeing off and sending people after Kyler Murray, they can always bring one more than you can block, Basinonians. And that means, theoretically, you could always knock down Kyler Murray if you wanted to.
Yeah, even if you don't get the sack, you can still
exactly
get a shot
right.
at him. Yeah. Now, this is Kyler Murray today, and look, Josh Jones has had a really fine season so far. He's only in his second year. He's done a lot of good. He had a rough day against the Houston Texans. There's no way around that. And so Kyler was asked today if he has talked to Josh Jones about it.
I'm not going to tell you what we talked about in the locker room, but I mean, at the end of the day, that's my guy. I mean, obviously, he's a young player. You know, this league, you're going to face, you know, these are some of the most athletic men on the planet Earth, you know, to play this game that are on the D-line. You know, people don't realize how athletic those guys are, how good they are. And you're going to get beat, you know, you're going to get beat some days. Everybody does. So, you know, it's good for him to go through those growing pains and just learn from it. That's really all I can tell him is learn from it. You know, It's the NFL. You're going to get beat.
The growing pains, I understand they were, you know, figuratively growing pains for Josh Jones, but the actual physical pain, Kyler Murray absorbed that on Sunday because of it.
There's no doubt about it. That was bad. As a matter of fact, it was the worst half I've seen an offensive lineman play for the Arizona Cardinals this year. It was the worst the offensive line, I think, actually played overall. You take all five guys, that was the worst half of worst quarter of football, definitely, was the first quarter that I've seen this offensive line play since Sean Kugler has been the offensive line coach.
And it got better as the game went on. It didn't get good, but it got better. And the Cardinals ultimately won, and Kyler Murray came out of it as healthy as you can hope to be 7 weeks into an NFL season. It is just sort of tough to have to play the Thursday night game right after that because of all weeks where Kyler probably could use those extra 2 days. This is it. Now, here's more from Kyler talking about the versatility of the offense this season.
I feel like the same thing I said last year, not relying on my legs. You know, I think great offenses can do both. You know, they're not one-dimensional. And I think, you know, as far as you know, as we go, we got receivers, you got running backs. So as long as, you know, you stay healthy and you continue to work hard, I feel like good things will happen. And, you know, as far as right now, you know, I think we're on the right path to, you know, I think everybody sees it, you know, so hopefully we can keep it going.
Yeah, hopefully they can keep it going. The balance is going to be the question mark for me, especially heading into the second half of the season right now. It seems like the longer the season goes, the more you have to rely on the fundamentals of the game to actually get you where you want to go. And being able to keep Kyler Murray in a balanced offense, I think, is going to really improve his chances of finishing the season and not suffering an injury. And again, I'm not talking about a season-ending injury. I'm not talking about that. Everybody worries about that. And that could happen on any
play.
That could
happen to any player on any team.
Any play,
yeah,
even non-contact. There's nothing you can do about it. I'm talking about trying to limit the hits that Kyler Murray is going to face. And the way to do that is to remain balanced. That's the way to do that and limit the amount of hits that this guy is going to take.
Where the Cardinals do have a little bit of an advantage is part of it is, yeah, it's what you're saying. And, yeah, it's have good offensive line play. Some of it, though, and we've seen the opposite with quarterbacks in the past like RG3, some of it is you need your quarterback to have the instincts that are good survival instincts where he's not taking unnecessary hits and he's not getting leveled trying to get one extra yard on the sidelines, or he's not taking a brutal sack when he can just kind of he can lose the 3 yards or whatever without getting clotheslined in the backfield or hit in the back. You know what I mean? And Kyler does have that. He has shown that through the first 2.5 years. Dave Pasch said this when he was on with us yesterday. Kyler's been smaller than most guys on the field his entire life. So he knows how to stay on the field. It's survival instincts.
Yeah, that hit he took, Jonathan Greenard.
Yeah, that was not good.
Oh my goodness, that was without a doubt the hardest hit I think he has taken since he's been in the National Football League. I think that is the hardest hit I have ever seen Kyler Murray take.
It's not like you can avoid them all, but the less hits your quarterback is taking, the less chance you have an awkward play where he gets twisted up like Patrick Mahomes did on Sunday, or just anything. The less chance that Kyler Murray gets hit as hard as he did on that play if he's just getting hit less. But to your earlier point, I mean, the deeper we get into the season and the more difficult it appears to beat the Cardinals, teams are going to take liberties with Kyler Murray.
Oh, no doubt.
Especially division rivals.
This is something that we were talking about last week, as a matter of fact. But get ready for this, Mason Onions. Honestly, defensive coordinators are going to start saying, hey, rough this guy up. They're not going to put a bounty on him. They're not going to say, go out there and rip his face mask off. They're not going to say, they're just going to, you get a shot on Kyler Murray, you better take it.
Because if you don't, you're going to lose to the Cardinals.
That's exactly
it's happening every single week.
Yes.
Text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up, the NFC West was supposed to be the best division in football. Now it's just a two-team race. We'll get into that next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Drinking from a fire hose, a sip of sparkling water. Wolf and Luke middays, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
All All right, welcome back to the show. As the Cardinals get set to take on Green Bay on Thursday night, and you look around the rest of the NFC West, you suddenly have a division, Wolf, that does not look the way – I don't think anybody expected this. I'm sure there are people that expected the Cardinals to finish in first. We didn't hear from a lot of them. I'm sure there are people that expected the Seahawks to finish in last. You were one of them. And I had San Francisco in last. They're not that far ahead of Seattle for the last spot in the NFC West. But I don't think anybody expected it to be so split, not even halfway through the season.
Yeah. No, I would agree with that, Luke, honestly. What's happening with the Seattle Seahawks, I think if you really looked at their defense last year and you watched them and watched how they played, you could see there were problems. And I don't think they fixed those problems in the offseason. And that's the reason why I thought they were going to step back, especially when you had Russell Wilson saying some of the things he was saying about the offensive line.
I'm not saying this is the end of the Seahawks run, but if this were to be the end of the Seahawks run, this is how it would look, right? Your quarterback is a little bit...
not happy.
Yeah, not a little bit not happy.
Not happy.
He wasn't happy last offseason. You come into this season, you don't really do a whole lot to make his life better. As you've been saying, their defense is not what it once was. You're losing. He's hurt. You know, he comes back. Maybe they still have a chance to salvage the season. They do have Jacksonville this week, but he's not back this week.
Yeah.
They have a bye week next week. Maybe he comes back the week after that, but it's Green Bay and Arizona.
Yeah.
But what if, you know, what if Seattle is out of it? And what if at the end of the season he's like, I'm done. Like, I'm going somewhere else. Seattle is so built around their quarterback right now, so much more now than they were 5 years ago. You know, and it goes back to what you and I were talking about last week with Kyler Murray right now, why this is such a sweet spot for the Cardinals. Kyler Murray is a great NFL quarterback, and he doesn't cost you that much.
Yeah.
Seattle's best teams, go back and look, when they won a Super Bowl and got to another Super Bowl they probably should have won, were when Russell Wilson was becoming great, but he didn't cost that much.
Yes.
There's only so much money you can spend. There's a salary cap in the NFL for a reason.
Yeah, the NFC West, it hasn't panned out the way that we all thought it was going to. There's no denying that. It is still a very, very physical division, but it hasn't had a lot of success in terms of the production and wins and losses right now. It looks different. It feels different as well. You've got the Arizona Cardinals, surprise, at 7-0 right now. And it's not only just the 7-0 that is the surprise to me, Luke. It is also the way that they've done this. It's also the physicality that we have seen from the Arizona Cardinals on both sides of the ball. Physicality when they needed it the most. The ability to run the ball. We've seen them put some teams away in the fourth quarter with a possession that included lining up and just hammering the football. Isn't that right, James Conner? We have seen them do that. The physicality is there. Flip it over on the defensive side of the ball and look at the defense and the way the defense is balled out, especially when they were facing an opponent that was excellent at running the football, and the Tennessee Titans and the Cleveland Browns, Exhibit A. By the way, the Browns were the number one rushing team in the league. I know they didn't have Nick Chubb. I know they didn't have their two tackles as well. That's a big deal. But something tells me the Arizona Cardinals would have been able to hold up even in those situations because they game plan for it. They were going to make Baker Mayfield beat them, and I don't think Baker Mayfield was going to be up to it.
Well, the other team in this division, and the reason why I thought San Francisco would struggle this year potentially, is because they created their own controversy at quarterback. And this is Kyle Shanahan yesterday trying to give people an update on what that is now. San Francisco has the Bears this weekend. Seattle has Jacksonville. The Rams have Houston. The Cardinals obviously have the most difficult game of anybody in the NFC West this week. But as you just kind of said, when they play a tougher team, they step up to the challenge. This is Kyle Shanahan yesterday, though, about the 49ers and the quarterback situation that has really put them in a tough spot.
We didn't go into that game thinking that Jimmy was one bad game away from losing his job or anything like that. Jimmy didn't play as good as he could, which he knows that. I know that. Also, I think it was some pretty hard, you know, circumstances for him, you know, for both quarterbacks, considering some of the weather. But I definitely thought he could have played better. But that was not a game to where, hey, if Jimmy has one bad game, he's losing his job. We're trying to, we know Trey's a future here and trying to get, do what's best for him and for our team. And Trey's coming off a pretty big injury, and we're going to keep bringing him along and keep getting him prepared as good as he can be to always be ready to come in and help on the plays that we ask him to do. Always be ready to take over if Jimmy gets hurt, and being ready to be the future for us too.
Have you ever seen Seinfeld?
Yes.
They meet Jimmy and he speaks in third person. He's like, hands off Jimmy. Jimmy's a tough competitor. Jimmy didn't think he was losing his job on Sunday.
Right. Okay, yeah, Jimmy.
That's all I could think when I heard that.
Yeah, Jimmy G right now, 2-4. 2-4. Did you think they were going to be 2-4? Do you think
Jimmy thought they'd be 5-2?
4-2. 4-2. Are you going to let that go?
Probably
at some
not.
Point in
no,
time?
It's yeah, too okay. close to the end of the show.
4-2. I could totally see.
Yeah, yeah.
I could see them being 4-2 at this point in time, but 2-4, I did not see it. And I can't say it's a interesting proposition to Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. What are you going to do? What are you going to do if you hover around 500 the rest of the way? You're not going to play Trey Lance? You're going to continue to play Jimmy G? I don't see that happening because you want to get a jump on this blending of the two. You want to get a jump on this old and new offense that you're going to build in San Francisco. You know you want to, Kyle. You know you want to. It's the reason why you went up and you got Trey Lance, because you knew he was going to be the physical embodiment of blending this new age and old age offense that you have inside your head. Can you imagine? Have you ever heard the metaphor about scratching an itch that you had to scratch at some point in time? It's not just going to be, well, the last two games of the season, let's let Trey Lance play. If these guys are hovering around 500, why in the world would you not just put Trey Lance in and say over the last 7-8 games of the season, go get it.
They would love to be hovering around 500 right now. I mean, they're 2-4, but I hear what you're saying. And he even said, Kyle Shanahan said it at the start of that clip, we didn't go into this week thinking Jimmy was one game away from getting benched. Yeah, but what if Jimmy G feels that way every time he's playing? You know, you can take the old school mentality as a coach and be like, you know what, he's got to be a professional and this and that, and he shouldn't be thinking that way, and he's got to be tougher than that. That's fine. But deal in the reality of the fact that your quarterback is not responding well to this, and you have at least a playoff-caliber team around him. And, Wolf, we looked at the standings earlier. As bad as the 49ers have been, they're one game out of a playoff spot.
Yes. Listen, you played a defense that hasn't been on fire. The Indianapolis Colts. Would you say they're a defense on fire?
Not this
year. This was a defense I thought coming in was going to be really, really good. Guess what? I was wrong on that. They have not played very well. They were 2-4 overall, this team. Jimmy G went out there and threw for under 200 yards, 181 yards, 16 of 27. He had a quarterback rating of 60.9.
In fairness to him, it was a complete downpour that one game, but I do feel like the situation they've created, when he looks over on the sidelines, he just sees 50 Trey Lances looking at him. That's what I think. That's how Jimmy G sees the field right now.
Hey, all I know is Carson Wentz had a quarterback rating of 105.
Well, that really just kind of shot a hole in my argument.
No, I'm just saying.
It took it right down. Sorry, Jimmy G, I tried. Jimmy's not happy. Jimmy's upset. It's been a strange couple weeks for Cliff Kingsbury. When do the Cardinals get their head coach back on track? That's next. The Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Still undefeated.
This one's over. The Cardinals are 7-0.
Things aren't slowing down yet.
This week, y'all know Thursday night games. All right, it's a team that handles the week. Unique, weaker preparation, the best. That's who wins the game.
Kyler Murray.
You just got to be ready. You got to prepare for them quick. I mean, everything's quicker. We understand the task at hand, and we come ready to play on Thursday.
Versus Aaron Rodgers.
I know what's in front of us. A short week against an undefeated opponent.
Ready or not, here I come.
Prime time. Wolf and Luke talk Cardinals, Packers, Thursday night football. Now.
All right, so a strange week for the Cardinals and Packers this week. I should throw out there, too, in case you missed it, Alan Lazard also on the COVID list, and is reportedly not vaccinated, so he's out for Thursday.
Whoa.
Devontae Adams has not officially been ruled out yet, but it doesn't seem like he's going to be able to play either. So the Packers are likely going to be able to play without Devontae Adams and Alan Lazard. Marcus Valdes-Scantling is currently on IR. I thought I heard somewhere that he might be able to come back before that, maybe, but that seems like a long shot too. They got Randall Cobb and a tight end, yeah. Robert Tonyan.
They have Aaron Rodgers.
They do have Aaron Rodgers.
That is the problem right there. They have Aaron Rodgers. I'm not going to count Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers offense out of anything, especially when you're talking about a nationally televised broadcast. We already talked about Devontae Adams.
Do I need to be worried about what you were saying last week with the Cardinals or going into the Cleveland game, where it's like the odds are almost so stacked against Aaron Rodgers now that he's going to go into some dark Aaron Rodgers place and come out and play his best football?
No, I don't know. I have no idea what to expect. But with the Arizona Cardinals right now, I don't expect any type of letdown. I think they've got a great vibe that is going on inside that locker room. We've been talking about it, Luke, but this team, right when you think, oh, this might be it, this is going to be it, we're going to see this team take a step back, they don't. This team, through 7 weeks, they've just stepped up to the plate and not. They've done exactly what they've had to do in order to win a game. And it's all about the leadership they have inside this locker room. And now all of a sudden, you throw Zach Ertz into that locker room as well. It is truly amazing what's going on inside the Arizona Cardinals locker room and outside on the field.
Well, and Cliff Kingsbury, in a weird way, is probably prepared for a unique week like this, because the last couple weeks for him have already been unique. In fact, he was on with Burns and Gambo yesterday and talked about how, you know, going into the Houston game was tougher than the Cleveland matchup.
It was actually tougher, this week, not being able to be at practice, detail things up, be around the guys going into the game than it was the previous week, when you could actually coach throughout the week and get it how you wanted it. So I felt a little out of sorts just showing up and grabbing the game plan and calling it, but the guys played hard and found a way to win.
So now you have your head coach. Obviously, everything got thrown off going into the Cleveland game for him.
Yeah.
Then we
by the way, he did not watch that Cleveland game.
I told you.
I asked him.
Did you?
I have to tell you this, Luke. Actually, doing the show,
yeah,
the Cliff Kingsbury show, you know that I do it with Paul Calvisi, of course.
Yeah.
Recorded with the Cardinals over there, and I did. Before we started, I asked him. I had to.
I was
like, Cliff, did you really not watch it? No, I didn't watch it. He looked me dead in the eye and said,
you.
No, you didn't watch it. I was like, Cliff, I can't even understand. What do you mean you didn't watch it? I just didn't watch it. I was doing other stuff, and I didn't want to watch it.
Well, he was doing other football stuff. He wasn't, like, washing his kitchen.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
Right. That's what he was doing. He was game planning. It blew me, because I looked him dead in the eye, and I was like, all right, you know, I'm pretty good at this right here. I can read some people. Look at me and tell me that you didn't watch, and he did.
I knew it.
Okay, either he's a psychopath, okay, and he can lie on command, or he was telling me the truth.
What an odd thing to lie about, though. I mean, to really go to that place to be able to lie about that. He didn't watch it. And it's funny.
He didn't until the last 3 minutes.
The only person in this city I know who didn't watch it was the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals.
It was stunning, man. I said, man, this is the opportunity I needed right here just to ask him that, man. I was, wow, blown out of the water.
You should have pulled what he pulled on you when we were talking to him about Ted Lasso, and he's like, it's all about character development and morals. It's not for you, Wolf.
Yeah.
You should have been like, it's all about, you know, winning football games. Not for you, coach.
Oh, that would have been harsh.
It would have been awkward.
And it would have been untrue.
Yeah, I mean, he's undefeated.
He's undefeated.
He's literally undefeated.
Exactly.
Right now,
yeah. He's 6-0.
Why would you hypothetically
say that?
Say that?
Of course.
Yeah, it wouldn't make any sense.
It makes you look stupid.
It does, but, you know, there's no record of me saying
you don't care.
No.
Right. As long as I say
I'm well past that point of caring if I look stupid. Have you heard the last hour of the show? Another one from Cliff Kingsbury. How long it took him to get fully acclimated back again?
Yeah, I just think, you know, probably a quarter. I thought we didn't play very well, and I didn't call a very good game that first quarter. And then we settled in. Coach Krugel had some great adjustments in the run game. We hit a couple shots, and that got us rolling.
He's so humble. I honestly, right now, it's one of his strengths. you've got a head coach in the National Football League that is really, really smart, and yet he's humble. He looks at himself with a jaundiced eye. He's his own harshest critic. You just don't find dudes like that in the National Football League, Luke.
No,
you don't.
Not at the head coaching position.
No.
You absolutely do not. College football either. He's gonna. He probably wants to get through Thursday more than anybody, because then he finally gets back on a normal coaching schedule. All right, that's going to do it for us here today. Thanks to Jay Williams for joining us. Aaron Maloney producing, as always. Jesse Morrison behind the glass for Wolf. I'm Luke. Burns and Gambo up next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.